So, Father, thanks for the opportunity to be together tonight. I pray, Lord, that you would just speak to our hearts and our minds. Father, thanks for the message from Pastor Greg about taking those first steps. And, Lord, I pray you'd help us to do that effectively as we look at overcoming barriers and obstacles. Father, that you would speak to each one of us, you'd encourage us, and that you'd bring kingdom growth because of our time together tonight. We pray all these things in your Son's matchless name. Amen.
About 9 or 10 years ago, I mentored a young woman named Sarah, and it was probably for about 4 years, actually, it was while she was in school, that we hung out together, we spent tons of time together, we did do Bible study together, I went to her choir concerts, I had lunch with her occasionally, she would come to the house, we'd hang out, we even had some sleepovers occasionally, we had a couple of girls' movies nights, you know, those kind of things. So we did all kinds of things together. And over those 4 years, each year, I kind of had some goals I wanted to move forward with Sarah on. And probably each of the 4 years, I never got as far as I wanted to go. But I did make some progress each year. And she went on to school, but we continued to have a great relationship together because we had spent so much time together. I stay connected with her. And it's been really fun. Over Christmas, just about a month ago, Sarah was in town, and she came over to the house. We had coffee together, spent some time catching up, and she was telling me about kind of a new challenge in her life. And she has discovered, which I'm just so thankful for, she discovered that she is living in a Christian bubble and that she just doesn't have very many non-Christian friends, and she really wants to learn to move in that more effectively. And she said, you know, I just wanted to know if maybe we could start meeting together via Skype. She's in a different town now. And she said, because maybe we could just like Skype every couple of weeks or so or on Sunday nights. She said, do you think that would work? I said, I think we can make that work. So it's been really funny, but it was all because of the relationship, and it's been 10 years now.
So we did fail to introduce ourselves at the beginning, but this is Margaret, and I'm Roy Fitzwater, and we have the privilege of working with the Navigators in the area of Navigator Church Ministry. So I'll go from there. So at the same time that Margaret was mentoring Sarah, I had the opportunity to mentor Sarah's youth pastor. And I can tell you that I've never been a youth pastor. I don't know a whole lot about youth pastoring, but he had his game down when it came to being a youth pastor. But he was a little rough around the edges when it came to being a dad and a husband. And so again, I'm not an expert of that. Margaret will tell you that. But I was a couple steps ahead of Jim when it came to being a dad and a father. A dad and a... And so you don't have to be perfect to be a mentor, okay? But there were a number of obstacles that we faced in getting together. You know, he was busy with youth. I was busy in a job. I traveled a lot. He would be off on youth trips, that sort of thing. There were environmental things that made it difficult to meet. But what we did do is we had a great commitment to each other that we were going to make a difference in each other's lives, that we were going to pour into each other as a mentor and mentee. And because of that deep commitment, we were able to see some amazing things in Jim's life. Today, he actually leads a ministry in Thailand that deals with human trafficking, and he's an awesome dad and husband. So I'm really excited about the opportunity I had to input into Jim's life a little bit. Now, there's not a whole lot in life that is really worth much that you don't encounter obstacles. Anybody run into any obstacles along the way? All right. So, and mentoring in a Christian context is really all about helping people to grow spiritually. And anytime we engage in that arena, there's somebody who's not happy about it. We have an enemy who does not like anything that we do to make forward progress. In fact, the word says that the thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. And there we go. But I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. In fact, in the message in John 10:10, Jesus says, more and better life. And don't you love that picture that we want to help people to have more and better life? So mentoring increases the life that we have and the life of those that we mentor. So guess what? Anytime we do that, we're bringing the enemy challenge, and he's going to come against that. So mentoring is really rewarding, but it's also really tough. And it's really the tough mudder of Christianity. So anybody know anything about tough mudder? Anybody competed in one? You have? All right. All right, way to go. So, you know, it's a pretty amazing set of races and just this whole idea of competing against yourself and working together with a team. And there's a bumper sticker that's used, and their slogan is, probably the toughest event on the planet. So the average Tough Mudder race is somewhere between, and I have not done one, okay, so I'll just admit that right up front. The average race is 10 to 12 miles. The obstacles require a lot of mental and a lot of physical preparation and work. The Tough Mudder has made electrocution almost obligatory for mud runs. And so we actually have a really short video here. Watch it quickly because it's only about 10 seconds long that shows you a little bit what this electrocution is going to look like. So Jim, if you'll hit... So all those white things hanging down are electric wires, and there is no way to avoid them, so you got to run through all of those. It's crazy. So that's probably the toughest mentally. In terms of the toughest physically, the list is probably too long to really guess. Somebody was, when they came in, was talking about at the very end, they have one called, it's called the Arctic Enema, and basically you have to plunge into water, green water full of ice cubes, and swim your way through that. And sometimes they hang the electric wires over that as well. So absolutely crazy. But the key is you're not going to survive it alone. It is not a race against other people. It is a race against yourself and to really do your best. So for this, you have to train, you got to run, you lift, you do CrossFit. But you're never going to be fully prepared for your first Tough Mudder or probably your 10th Tough Mudder. And the same thing is true for mentoring. There's obstacles. Doing it together as a team is an absolute must. Training is a must. And I can tell you right now that you will never be fully ready for the Tough Mudder of mentoring. So the Christian mentoring bumper sticker would probably be this. Probably the best pursuit on the planet. And I could really say it's probably more than probably. It's an amazing opportunity, whether you're a mentor or a mentee, to pour into to others. You know, Jesus told us to go and make disciples. Excuse me. And then he also said, Paul said in 2 Timothy 2:2, and what you have heard from me in the presence of many witnesses, entrust to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. And when we're mentoring, we're doing exactly what Jesus told us to do. We are making disciples. And then what Paul said, we're passing this on to faithful men and to faithful women. So we need to be ready for that fight with lots of obstacles and barriers that seem to come from everywhere. And Margaret's going to come up and talk a little bit about the barriers.
So now what he didn't tell you was he may not have done the Tough Mudder, but guess what? Not really. How many of you in here are mentoring right now? Have somebody you're mentoring. That is great, but that's not nearly enough. I know this church has lots of people that need to be mentored, that want to be mentored. There are people, I was blown away this week. Roy and I were in Dallas for a few days before this, and we spent some time with two young people in their 20s. One incredible entrepreneur has already started an organization, has several people working, reporting to him. And this young man was just telling me about the way that he's gotten to where he is and the way that he's going to get where he is he said, I will always find somebody that I can follow. And he said, I will learn by following them. I loved to have a mentor. And he was just so passionate about it. The young woman that I met with this week that works with him, kind of an associate, same thing. These people want to be mentored. I want to be mentored. You know, I always want to have somebody just ahead of me that I can kind of learn the ropes from, because I I find plenty of ways to get messed up on my own, much less in trying to, try to do it without talking to somebody that's gone before me. So mentoring is amazing. So we have put together probably 5 or 6 kind of major areas of obstacles that we tend to talk to people about, that people talk to us about on a pretty regular basis. But I thought it might be just helpful for a couple of minutes. Why don't you tell us some of the obstacles that you're experiencing in mentoring, or maybe some obstacles to keep you from mentoring. So if you know any of those, or if you have some, why don't you just spit it out right now, and we'll talk about, we may or may not talk about those, so we'll see. We're going to try to. Yes. Okay, good. Okay, good. Okay, how about something else? Okay, time. That's a good one. Yes. How about, yes. Not qualified. Okay. Any others? Okay. That's a good one. We see that one a lot. Yeah, that. Okay. Okay, so kind of changing relationships from that of friend to mentor.
And avoiding the weird factor.
Avoiding the weird factor. Okay, so yes, all right, we'll take one more and then we'll. Yes, that is a really good point, because we can set ourselves up as mentors. We can set ourselves up as the know-it-alls or the wonderful deliverer kind of person. That's a really good thing. I don't know if we'll have time to talk about that, but it is a really good point, and there are a lot of people who do that. So you have this long-term counseling arrangement instead of a launching independent people who can turn around and mentor. So, good. So, we're going to go ahead and launch into some of these, and we'll try to address the ones that you just brought up as we go or at the end, and if we don't get to something, you want to talk about it, We don't have our email on your handouts, but we'll put a few cards on the back or come up and we'll give you a card and you can email us and we're happy to, or call us, we're happy to talk to you about it. So first of all, before we get into the obstacles, we wanted to cover one thing that's kind of a general principle that will help with everything, that will help overcome all the obstacles, that there is no way that you can get through a significant mentoring experience if you don't have this. And the principle is that of prayer and persistence. That's kind of why we were talking about the tough mudder. I know it's kind of a crazy idea. It's like, okay, mentoring is really not a tough mudder. But it really is. Mentoring is tough. And if you have mentored very many people, you will know that you will fight all odds. You know, Sarah, the girl that I told you about, I think every week there was a time issue. There was a cold or a cough. There was a family issue. There was a travel issue. It was just nonstop, and you just have to keep at it and pray and persist. There is a kind of a saying you may have heard. It's been out there for a long time, but it's a very simple principle, but it works, and it's called push. Pray until something happens. And indicative of that phrase is persisting in prayer, to keep praying, don't give up. And that's what you have to kind of set, that's the mindset you have to have if you're going to mentor, is that you're not going to give up. If you, as a mentor, decide to give up, it's done. You're not going to make it through very well. Now, I shouldn't say can't, because God can do anything, but you probably will not have very many successful mentoring experiences, because it's just hard. It's fun. It's rewarding. In fact, I think it's probably one of the most rewarding things we can do, because we were made to multiply. We were made to pour into other people. And it just, you know, to see somebody begin to really grow and catch things is so exciting. It just really energizes you as a Christian. So it's wonderful. But prayer and persistence, pray without ceasing. And that involves living scripture too. you know, really living through that prayer and persistence, just hanging in there strong. So the first obstacle that we want to talk about is lack of commitment. I know we have heard that over almost anybody that we talk about. You know, they'll say, well, you know, we just aren't getting people to commit like they should. Now, there's a lot of times the commitment is people just don't understand what they're getting into. Sometimes they walk into a mentoring experience because somebody wants them to. You know, so somebody, they're trying to meet somebody else's expectations. And one of the things you have to do is kind of weed these people out, because you want people who want to be mentored. You want people who want to grow. That's really important. So you're looking for a level of commitment from them. And if you talk to most people, when they're talking mentoring or discipling, either way, they're really looking, and in their hearts, what they want is a challenge. They want high challenge, high commitment. You know, if you look at, there's a lot of those little charts, diagrams, and if you look, you know, you have four boxes, you can kind of put where people are. If you have commitment versus challenge, you want people in that upper right-hand box of high commitment, high challenge. That's where spiritual transformation takes place. So if you don't have enough challenge, it's probably not going to happen very well. It's going to take forever. It's not going to happen. So high commitment, high expectation. That it's actually from both. The mentor has to set it up that way. I'm going to expect you to commit to being on time, to doing whatever we're going to agree to do, and that mentee has to agree to that, and the mentee has to have the kind of mental attitude and desire to be challenged. You know, if somebody is not willing to be challenged, I really don't want to mentor them, because it's about growth. I've got better, you know, I mean, this is not being, I'm not being ugly when I say this, but I have better things to spend my time on than wasting my time with somebody who doesn't want to grow. They don't. There are plenty of others that do. So you were about to say something, Lewis? You know, the difference between discipling and mentoring, it depends. You could look in 15 different books and get 15 different definitions on mentoring versus discipling. You know, in this church, we were talking to Eric earlier today, and he said, we were talking to him, and we used the word discipling instead of mentoring. And we said, oops, we meant mentoring. And he said, oh, no, here it's interchangeable. You know, it's really mentoring as discipling as mentoring. Now, you know, you can, and in both, you can actually be more specific in an area, but I think it kind of depends on the context. So, thanks. It's a good question. So anyway, some things that you can do on the commitment thing. One of the things that is helpful is to start with a short-term commitment, 4 to 6 weeks. Just have a little trial time, try before you buy kind of period. See how it works out. If your personalities are meshing, you know, if the commitment really is there, if the time's going to work out, just try it. Just try a little trial time and then evaluate at the end of the 4 to 6 weeks. Say, hey, you know what? Why don't we? I think it works really well if we just try it for a while, and then we'll check in and see. So on February 28th, you know, when we meet that day, we'll just kind of look at the last two or three times that we've met and see how it's working. And if it's something we want to go on with, we will. And if it's not, we're fine. You know, it just may not be the time. I mean, you know, there's a lot of good reasons. Doesn't mean you have to get mad or it's an ugly thing. It's just may not be good for now. So short-term commitment. Clearly communicate expectations up front for both. And in fact, we have seen some churches and some mentoring relationships that will actually write out the expectations. It's kind of like a little mini contract that they'll both sign. They both agree to, and that's very helpful. Some people need something written. They need that reminder. You know, they just take it out and say, okay, this is what I committed to. And it's important to do that, because some people have struggles with that. So that might help. Keep track of prayer requests and follow up on them. Be faithful to pray for, not just for the whole experience, but and for the mentoring, but get specific prayer requests from them. You know, these are people you're investing your life in. And so you want to know, how can I pray for you? You ought to be praying for them pretty close to daily. I mean, they should be pretty high on your list, because you are investing. You're investing your life in those people. Keep track of their prayer request. Follow up on them. Be consistent. Meet them at their point of need, not just at yours. And that has to do with praying for them, too. But a lot of times we'll go into a mentoring relationship, and I and maybe you don't do this. I am really bad at it, though. I have a major agenda for anyone and everyone. Roy would probably tell you that, too. We struggle with that a little bit, too. Roy says, okay, I'm not here. that is true sometimes. But I have agendas for everybody, and there are, sometimes it's easy to do, but we have to remember that we are about their, you know, we are trying to provide an environment for God to change their life. We can't bring about transformation, only God can. And we don't exactly understand their needs. And so if we don't listen to what they really need, we may be off. We may think they need something that they don't really need. And also, if you want their commitment to stay in there, you also need to not just listen to what they need, but what they want. So there may be some things that they want that may not be that needed, but you know what? It's okay. If it's what they want and it works with the plan, do it. So listen to those kind of things and then pray for them. Have an end goal. Make sure that you do, that you are intentional in your mentoring. Don't just go into a relationship that's kind of addresses like a friend kind of relationship. But a mentoring relationship is intentional. And let me just talk about the friend thing, because I actually have a really good friend in our church, another woman who is actually probably just a couple years older than I am. In fact, I know she is, because we've celebrated lots of birthdays now. But, you know, she asked me one time, she said, you know, Margaret, she kind of gave me a little quick view of her spiritual story. I knew her really well because our kids went to school together and we went to church together. And she said, you know, I went to through church. I grew up in this environment. And I just feel like that you could really help me in these areas of my life. And she just started talking about a few areas. And she said, would you mind just spending time with me? Could we get time together? And maybe you could just teach me these things. And so we got together for about a year. We went through some discipling materials. I realized there were some gaps in her foundation. And we would meet, we would pray together as friends, but we were very intentional. But it was an agreement between both of us, something she wanted and something I wanted to do too. And that can be very rewarding, a friendship like that. And you know, she was one of the first people that we sent an email to ask us to pray for tonight. She is a partner. You know, when you are mentoring, that doesn't mean that you're more spiritual, you're older, doesn't mean that you're younger, it doesn't mean anything. It just means that for a while, you're in a role that you're helping them to have an environment to learn and grow on something. And there's a lot of people peer mentor. So you can actually, I'm actually meet with two other women that it's like that. There are two other women, a pastor's wife and another woman who is a leader. And the three of us meet together on a regular basis, and we hold each other accountable. We grow together. We are very transparent. So it's a peer mentoring relationship. So that's a thing too. Develop your relationship with them. This is a huge part of commitment with people. A lot of times you'll go into it with an agenda, and you forget the relationship. Don't forget the relationship. That is so key. Relationship, relationship, relationship. That life on life. That's what mentoring's all about. And grow their appetite. Make them hungry. Model an attractive lifestyle and tell stories about it. You want to cause hunger to develop. You want them to be a mentor. That's what you want. You want them to multiply. That's what Christianity is about. That's what Jesus taught his disciples. Multiply. And if they don't get hungry, if they don't see the rewards of what you're doing, it's going to be hard for them to multiply. The second major area of kind of obstacles is limited time. So I would just encourage you to always stay on time, set a time, whatever time that is. Make sure you both commit to, unless something majorly happens, you'll be there on time. In fact, maybe a couple minutes early. And then stop on time, or maybe a couple minutes early. And you'll find that commitment, the rate of commitment goes way up. There is nothing that kills commitment like not sticking to the time commitment. That's huge. Meet over a meal, breakfast, lunch, everybody has to eat meals, so that works really well. There's some great, you know, formats that work for an hour that even for like a business lunch is great. Structure intentionally, and we're going to talk about that in the next workshop, how to do that a little bit better. Another thing that is a really good idea here is to have an action plan sheet, and that's something you can send out ahead of time by email. Greatest victory, greatest challenge, and any specific issue you want to talk about this week. So whatever material you're covering or whatever book of the Bible you're studying or whatever it is, you know, just go ahead and share via email. Saves lots of time, saves lots of travel log. Just share greatest victory, greatest challenge, and hey, let's make sure we talk about XYZ. Saves tons of time. The next area of obstacles is huge, and I wish we could spend the entire workshop on this area, but it's telling versus asking questions. And this is a mindset that that many of us have. My generation is especially bad at, because we were so into this educated mindset, and you know, education, knowledge was everything. Knowledge is power. That's what I grew up learning. And so I got lots of degrees and lots of education so I could tell everybody how to live their lives and how to do everything. it's just that mindset, that education mindset. So that has to be reversed. Telling people things, giving information is not teaching. And that is the worst way that people learn. If you talk to educators, they'll tell you, you know, a lecture, like what we're doing right now, is the worst way to learn. And we're going to do something else other than a lecture in just a minute, too. But don't just tell. Ask good questions. Start with who, what, where, when, how. Those are all great questions. Avoid why in a mentoring relationship, unless you really feel that's necessary. Why can cause judgment to feel. People to feel judgment. So avoid why when you can. Just don't go there. And then the other thing that we would say is to use your questions wisely and going deeper in questions. And Roy's going to pass out right now a question ladder that I'm going to tell you about that is really helpful in taking conversations deeper. And you can do this with your mentees, the people you're mentoring. You can do it with friends. You can do it with people in your workplace that are that maybe you're trying to move closer to Christ, but it's really good. This is for you to take with you, and it's a ladder, so you start at the bottom and you climb up. The higher you go on the ladder, the deeper the questions are, the higher level questions are at the top, but basically, you start at the bottom, and on one side of the ladder, there's some kind of example questions. The other side explains what they are, but we're going to use this. I'm going to have you just pair up here in just a minute. But I'm going to tell you, the bottom rung starts with basic sharing of facts or information. The next one is feelings, emotions. The third rung of the ladder is basically going deeper, getting into, well, the third one is a Bible study, getting into kind of the biblical perspective on whatever issue is that you're talking about. Fourth one is where you get into critical thinking, really causing more thinking to happen, a lot of processing, and then you want that to move into action, because what we want is people living differently, and so we got to get to that action. We can talk for years, if we don't get to action, we're not going to move very far. So I'm going to give you an example. About 3 weeks ago, I actually used this on an issue that a woman that I was mentoring. She is new in her community. She was planning her calendar and was pretty much stressed over not knowing anybody at this point in time. And she just has a very strong sense of wanting to make a difference in people's lives and lead people closer to Jesus. But I don't know anybody. And she said, I just feel like I'm overwhelmed because I lived in one place all my life and now I'm here and I just don't know what to do. And so I kind of processed through this with her. So we talked about, I said, so what do you know right now about the town where you are? So we just talked about the situation, got a really clear view of where things were right then, and about the community. What does she know about the community? And I said, so what are you feeling right now about your lack of involvement in where you are right now? I got her talking about things that to make sure she really wanted to do this, because she's a little shy, she's kind of on her own. And so I wanted to make sure she was going to have a high commitment to this. So anyway, so what are you feeling right now? I asked her, what are you feeling right now? What do you think? Let's see. I asked her, what has not worked for you in the past? So, you know, have you ever done this before? You know, and kind of a little bit of time, she talked about a little bit of how she'd done it, but we talked about what did work, what didn't work. And I said, well, you know, if Jesus was in your place, what would he do? So we started kind of looking at biblically that God calls us to do this. So not only does she want to do it, but God's going to help her do this because he calls us to do this. And then we went deeper, and I said, so what would your life look like if you don't develop these relationships? So I'm creating this hunger, and we're going deeper, and I'm helping her to really think through this critically. And then, so we talked about that, and then I said, so what can you do in the next 24 hours to start planning to move forward on this? She came up with a plan. So that's the question ladder. Do you see, does that make sense, how you progress deeper? So what I want you to do is just pair up right now somebody that's really close to you and turn around, and I want you to process through one of these two practices. Scenario one, Sean is a friend at work. I want to help him move closer to Jesus, but I barely know him or her, not sure how to proceed. What should I do? So that's a question that maybe one of you will ask the other. Or if you don't like that question, here's another one. I've been working late every night for the last several weeks, a pattern that doesn't look like it's going to stop. My boss doesn't seem to care. I've missed several ball games for my kids, and I don't have time for them at all. What do I do? Ever heard that one? Okay, so pair up. I'm going to give you about 3 or 4 minutes, and I want one of you to be the questioner and the other one answer the questions. So pair up with a neighbor. One minute. Okay, I'm going to have to ask you to kind of bring your conversations to close. Continue after this workshop is over. You know, go home and practice this with somebody. Practice it a few times, and then you can start using it. It really works. So I'm going to also just say one more thing before we go on to the next obstacle, because I happen to think on the time commitment. I was going to give you two words that God gave me this year. I heard them twice in the same week. I was talking to Nancy Taylor about something. I thought, you know what? God gave me a word this year, too. And everybody struggles with time these days. Do you know anybody who doesn't struggle with time? We just are all so overcommitted. But on the time commitment, ruthlessly prioritize. If it doesn't make the list, don't do it. Don't have them do it. If that's something you want to do and they want to do, ruthlessly prioritize. Either make time for it. There is enough time to do every single thing that God wants us to do. If we're doing anything more than that, it's stuff that we've added that we should not be doing. So pray lots, seek God, and ruthlessly prioritize. And then Roy's going to come talk about the next.
Okay, so as we were dividing things up, I think it's a little ironic that I got poor listening skills. And any other guys think that's really inappropriate? What? Huh? Yeah. Especially because it only happens 3 times today. I mean, we got on the plane in Dallas, and when we book seats, Margaret likes the window, I like the aisle. So that's what we do, and then we pray that the middle doesn't show up. So the middle showed up today, and we had this little difficulty in our seat because I wasn't listening. So ironic that I got this one. All right, so.
The middle seat was praying. She didn't show up.
Ooh. All right. So the way that you can overcome poor listening skills is to engage in active listening, okay? So we don't want to look like Gollum with our hands over our ears. When we're there, we need to be fully present. We want to be attentive. We want to be engaging. We want to be reflective. And we want to be free of distractions. So, you know, don't be looking at other things. For like one of the most difficult things for me as a guy is media has this powerful pull. And so if I'm meeting in a restaurant and there's a TV, I always position myself so I cannot see the TV. Because every time, I'll be off like that. It's terrible. Okay, the next thing we want to do is linger to listen. We want to listen, listen, listen. I'm sure you have all heard of the 3 L's of real estate, our location, location, location. Well, the 3 L's of active listening are just that, listen, listen, listen. So listen and then listen some more and then listen again. We want to show authentic interest in people. So it's part of our desire to serve. And people will know the minute you are not authentic. There is no fake it until you make it when it comes to mentoring. We got to start that way from the very beginning. It's incredibly important that we withhold judgment and interruptions. Sorry, I never know if it's working or not. So we want to speak with an intent to listen to what they're saying and not to formulate our response. Anybody ever done that? Yeah. I mean, that is one of the worst things of all. And people know that you're doing that, so they can actually kind of see the wheels turning. So listen to listen, not listen to think of what you're going to say next. You want to forget about yourself and your answer and really concentrate on that other person and their perspective. You want to hear their heart. You want to use appropriate body language, signaling that intent listening. So you want to lean in. You want to nod your head. You want to smile. You want to do all those things that indicate that you're with people. And then you want to practice reflective questioning and or statements. And those are things like saying, it sounds like, or tell me more. Okay, I'm going to tell you that those are the 3 golden words of mentoring, tell me more. And if you're married, it's one of the best things you can do for your spouse. Because again, most of the time when our spouse wants to talk to us about something, they really don't want us to solve their problem. They want us to listen. So if you just, it's not fair. It's, you know, it's part of that whole thing where Jesus wants it to be totally dependent on him.
If you don't want me to fix it, don't ask.
That's right. So practice tell me more. All right. So what we're going to do now is we're going to watch a short video, about 2 minutes, of Dwight from The Office learning about some of these skills. And hopefully when you see what a great job he does, you'll know that you don't want to practice them like this.
It is crucial that you listen, Dwight. Also, you want to respect their... Are you listening now?
Yes.
Okay, well, you have to show us.
That's impossible. Listening happens in the ear and in the brain. I mean, some organisms have external hairs that vibrate to indicate auditory stimulation, but unfortunately, our external hairs don't vibrate at all.
Uh-huh.
What are you doing?
A little smile and a nod shows that I hear you. Got it?
I kind Kind of.
Nellie, why don't you tell Dwight what we were doing earlier today, and Dwight, you show us that you're listening.
Well, we were in the warehouse where we were discussing the mural that I've commissioned Pam to paint there. We were talking about the colour schemes and the major themes we want to hit. Children of the world coming together, cutting down trees to make paper, but not in a child labour-y way.
It's just up and down. Just a regular man, like a person.
I'm a person.
Of yes. course, you're a person. Yeah. We can do this, all right? And then we thought we... I can't carry on with that face. Look at it, I'm going to get nightmares with that face. I mean, he looks like he's labouring over a stool having just eaten human flesh.
It's a bit extreme.
No, I'm sorry, but that is true.
He's screwed. The meeting's in less than an hour.
All right, so hopefully that will serve as an example of what you don't want to do. So the best way to kind of make sure that doesn't happen is we're going to actually practice right now. So I want you to get into those same pairs or trios and switch roles. So whoever was the listener before wants to be the teller and vice versa. And what I want you to do is just tell that other person about something exciting that happened in this last week. And the other person is going to practice good listening skills, active listening, tell me more kind of skills. Okay, go. Okay, again, you're probably not quite finished practicing perfect active listening, but hopefully you made a little progress there. And certainly you are in contrast to Dwight, right? All right, so the next thing we're going to talk about is attitude. Okay, great. Thank you. Someday I'm going to learn to do that, but I haven't learned it yet. So, all right, so the next thing we want to talk about is attitude. And the most important thing to remember when it comes to attitude is that they are people, not projects. So we are not out to fix them or change them. In fact, we're not going to have any impact on changing them. It's really going to be God and his word that's going to do that. So the first thing that we want to do is we want to be sure that we check our heart attitude. And we need to do that frequently. Because as good as you get at it, it's really easy to slip back into that whole I'm going to fix you sort of thing. So... A way that we can do that really helps is to realize that every person that we have a relationship with in a mentoring, mentee relationship, a discipling relationship, has infinite worth and value. And the best way to keep that perspective in mind is to realize that Jesus died for them and would have died for them alone. So if you put that kind of perspective on with the person that you're mentoring, it'll really help you to understand their value. We need to be sure that we are authentic. And there's two parts to being authentic. There's transparency and there's vulnerability. And for years, I used those two words interchangeably. I'd just say one or the other and didn't really understand there was a difference. And then somebody shared with me the fact that there really is a difference. And transparency is when I let you see something about me that you wouldn't otherwise know. So the whole idea of sharing what happened in row 12 DNF was a transparent thing. If I hadn't told you that, you would have never known unless you were poor Miss 12E, okay? So that's transparency, and we want to do that in our mentoring relationships. We want to help people understand who we are and our foibles and the things that we're working on. Vulnerability is when I'm open enough to you that you can tell me something about myself that otherwise I wouldn't know. And so it's really important to practice both of those things. So I'm going to be really transparent and vulnerable and tell you that, you know, at the break there, Margaret said, okay, try doing this instead of this as you're sharing. So, you know, I was vulnerable enough to hear what she had to say, and then I just practiced transparency by letting you know that as well. So make sure that we do both of those things. It's critically important that we deal with issues, so don't avoid them. If they have stuff, help them to work through that. Not from a I'm going to fix you perspective, but from a let's work through this together. And then Philippians 1:6 says, there has never been the slightest doubt in my mind that he who started this great work in you would keep at it and bring it to a flourishing finish on the very day that Jesus Christ appears. So leave the fixing up to God. Isaiah 37:6 says, I ordained it, I planned it, and I brought it to pass. So we want to leave it up to God to do that fixing. All right, so the last area that we're going to talk about formally is this whole idea of no reproduction. You know, if Houston's First is ever going to achieve what they desire when it comes to mentoring, we have to be sure that we are constantly focusing on reproducing, because otherwise it'll just end when the people who are currently mentoring get tired, or they don't want to do it anymore, or they've met with too many things that are tough. So from the very beginning, we want to set expectations that this is all about multiplying. So I was talking to Jason at the very beginning, and I kind of asked him what his role was and everything like that, and he talked about how he really would like to be a mentee. He'd like somebody to mentor him, but already, he said, but I have this expectation that eventually that's going to lead toward mentoring. So that's the thing we want to do from the very beginning with the people that we're working with, is create this expectation they're going to turn around and multiply. And don't stop until they are mentoring. So this is not a check the box. We're not out to finish something in a semester or even necessarily a year. We want to be pouring into those folks until they're at the point where they really can reproduce. As I said in the very beginning when I was talking about Jim, the youth pastor, I didn't really know anything about youth pastoring, but I had a little more experience as a dad and husband. So we're not out to be super Christian. All we're out to do is stay one step ahead of them. And I think a really good example of that is when my kids were young and we moved to Colorado, they didn't have anywhere near enough people to coach soccer. And I'd never played soccer in my life. I was kind of just a little too old that was not popular when I was even in college. And so what I did was got a copy of the rule book, and I figured out what drills look like, and I stayed one page ahead of the kids and two pages ahead of the parents, and I could coach. All right. So you can do the same thing when it comes to mentoring. You don't have to be an expert. You don't have to be super Christian. You just have to be a couple pages ahead of the folks ahead. And then the last thing is to practice this whole idea of idea. And this is exactly what the pastor was talking about earlier. But we call it instruction, demonstration, experience, and assessment. And I think do you remember what the words were that he used? I watch. You watch me. You help me. I help you. I watch you. Is that it? All right, great. So it's this whole idea that, you know, we want to show them, we want to demonstrate what to do, and then we want to follow up with feedback. So that's incredibly important as well. So Margaret's going to talk a little bit about the ones that you brought up at the beginning that we might have missed, and then we're going to close things out.
I feel like we're racing through some of these, but there are a lot of obstacles we wanted to cover, and we got started about 10 minutes late. So I think we addressed most of the things, except for, and you can bring up again if we're missing, but one of the things that's ringing in my head is the obstacle about making yourself not launching them, basically making yourself critical as a critical part of their life on an ongoing basis as a mentor. And I will say there's a really good book called When Helping Hurts. We work with a mission organization that requires all of their missionaries to read that. And I think it's really the same concept. You know, we have to remember that there is a time when our helping somebody really does hurt them. It is not helping them to not allow them to grow up into a reproducing parent. In the next workshop, if you're here, we're going to talk about spiritual stages. But until you are a parent in Christianity, you are not a full, I mean, that is a mature stage. You're not fully mature as a Christian unless you are reproducing. So that's just, it is not helping them to do that. So I'll also say that the questioning approach versus telling is really helpful for that, because when you use a questioning approach versus telling, you're enabling them to grow up better. It really takes the control away from you. It gives them control. So they begin having more control of their life and can launch much more successfully. So this is really important when you're mentoring millennials, because millennials don't like to be told things. I mean, no young generation ever has. I certainly didn't. But as a generation, it is much more. They engage much better through questioning. So, you know, but it really will help them to take control of whatever aspect it is that you're working through, and they own it. Commitment is higher. It helps all kinds of things. So I'd really encourage that. And I would say model well. When they see you or hear your stories about struggles you had, or, you know, maybe you were mentoring somebody and it wasn't perfect, or, you know, when you messed up and it was okay, because we all mess up. You know, it's just we're not going to be perfect until we're no longer on this earth. And that's probably going to be a while for most of us. So anyway, any other specific things that you brought up?
The driving distance,
yeah. That, you know what? Technology is incredible. Skype. You can Skype for 15 miles, or you can Skype, you know, 15 hours away. It is incredible. It really does work well. And you can even set up some phone call sessions. You know, if you're, you know, maybe you get together once a month physically on a day that it works, maybe for a little bit longer, and on the other, and in between times, do it by phone. You can really listen well by phone. You know, you can have the same format. I mean, it works really well. We've done it by phone and it works. So any other little questions? Okay. You know, it kind of, in the structured time, though, how much time do you spend telling stories? I'd say in the structured time, probably not all that much, a little bit. We have kind of a format that we would suggest that we're going to go through. I'm not going to go through it right now. We will in the next session. But the stories, a lot of times, just come when you're hanging out. There'll be just discussion, and it'll bring up, oh, you know, this story or that story. And you'll want to listen to their stories, too, because we learn so much about each other through stories. So, okay, well, we've got just a couple little things to close with. And then if you have any other questions, feel free to email us or call us or whatever. But to kind of close, I want to remind you, pray and persist. There is nothing that works like that. Pray constantly. Pray scripture. That will increase your confidence and theirs. So, you know, practice praying scriptures and, you know, get those scriptures out, pray over them, use them, learn them, memorize them. Trust the promises and recruit a prayer team. Don't just depend on your own prayer, but have three or four people that love this person or that love you. Pray for you in that relationship. So recruit a prayer team. And I will say, you know, the promises and praying scripture, be sure you're memorizing. That will overcome a lot of obstacles too, because the memorizing scripture has a power to transform. We're going to talk about that later tonight, but memorize scripture. It is so powerful. I will never forget, our son graduated from the Air Force Academy 2 years ago, and his freshman year, he probably would not have made it if it weren't for a scripture that he had memorized. He was at a place to where he was absolutely done, and he couldn't go any further. God brought to his mind a scripture. Sorry about that. I can't believe I even think about this. No. God brought to his mind a scripture that he'd learned. He started memorizing like crazy. There's nothing like a challenge to get you memorizing. You know, we couldn't get him to memorize all during his high school. Then he found out he got into the academy. It's like, oh, I don't know if I can do this or not. This is like too big for me. He said, you know what? I think I better memorize some scriptures. It's like, duh. So one of those scriptures that he memorized probably kept him in there. And he had memorized Isaiah 41:10, and he had this issue where he had to hold his uniform at a 90-degree angle. for 30 minutes. And they had, his whole group of people had done something wrong. And he was holding it out there. And after 5 minutes, he knew he couldn't do it anymore. And anybody who didn't do it were gone. They were done. So he held it out there, and he just said, ugh, I can't do it. I'm done. I knew I wasn't going to make it. This is like week six of the freshman year. So I knew I couldn't do it. I'm done. And then all of a sudden, he's holding his hand out here, and he remembered Isaiah 41:10. Fear not, for I'm with you. You know, I will uphold you. He said, don't be dismayed, for I'm God. I am your God. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. And he thought, God is doing this with his righteous right hand. I don't have to do it. God is going to do it because God got me in, and he's going to keep me here. And he did it for 30 minutes. So, you know, those kind of things, I used to think, oh, I don't need to memorize. I'll just, you know, I can just look it up. But, you know, there are times like that you can't look it up. It transforms the mind. It transforms the heart. It's transformed behavior. So memorize scripture, and we'll talk about that more later too. So as you go out, we have rocks for each one of you that have that push. You know, pray until something happens. So pick up a rock. These are not Colorado rocks. Sorry, we just called the manufacturer for them to do the little engraving thing. So, but pick up a rock, stick it on your desk, whatever, because this is really the key to mentoring. So pray until something happens. Pray until they're multiplying. So thanks a bunch, and go win that tough mutter of Christianity. Yes, hold on. What? Oh, thank you. Thank you, Jim. So gift card. Okay.
Okay, I'm going to say
he asked a tough question. Why do they do that? Now, okay, that why? Wasn't that a judgment question? See? Okay, thank you, guys.
All right, so if you're going to join us for the other sessions, we are moving to room D.
D.
So. Oh, there you go. That's perfect.